You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
It's past the hour of 3 o'clock on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. Great to have you aboard. We got a great show coming up for you. Lots to cover today, to say the least. Scott Udash with you. Mark Dukes will join me in a moment. Ben on the other side of the glass. And most importantly, you are listening out there at 319-366-1600. That is a text line. Imagine that's going to be humming today. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you on the text line. You want to pick up the phone, give us a call. Love to communicate with you in that fashion as well. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Talk Cyclone football mainly with Rob Gray. Covers the Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Iowa State Media Day last week. And practicing, getting going, and getting ready for the opener for the Cyclones coming up in early September. So we will talk about that with Rob Gray and get his thoughts about how Media Day progressed, what the mood is behind the Iowa State Cyclones going into 2022. We'll also touch upon, I don't know, 350-odd million reasons to talk about what has not come down the line officially as of yet, but all but official as far as the Big Ten media deal is concerned. Boy, it is going to be big. It is going to be big, and it's going to be different. We'll get your thoughts on that, our thoughts on that as well, at 319-366-1600. And we also have the Colonels playing Quad Cities tonight in Dyersville at the Field of Dreams. So a lot to get to on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, which, as always, is presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com and learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to dupaco.com. 319-366-1600. That is a text line as we come your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. We got a jam-packed Tuesday, Mark. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. I love it when you say that, and it's very true.
Very true. Very true. And we'll talk with our friend Rob Gray coming up here in just a little bit as well. But I think we have to start, Mark. It is not official news yet, but it is all of but official. And we've been waiting for this announcement to come down the line. I mean, gosh, for months, if you will, especially weeks since Big Ten Media Days took place in Indianapolis. But sounds like early indications are the deal is together. It's going to be a record-breaking deal. It's going to be a deal that has never been put together before with three major networks and all of their branches coming from said major networks. And it's going to be upwards north of $300 million, the way it sounds, and quite a bit north of $300 million, the way it sounds, to have Big Ten athletics on, especially Big Ten football.
Yeah, times are changing in many ways, and this is true for Big Ten media rights deals, according to the Sports Business Journal, where I first saw this story, and it's going to be effective next fall of 2023. Apparently the end of an era with ESPN. College Game Day, maybe it'll continue, I don't know, but the Big Ten's affiliation with ESPN, ABC, apparently coming to a close effective next year.
That is apparent anyway, as it looks as though the new television deal reported by many over the last 24 hours or so, Stuart Mandel, one of those, but it appears to be, it's going to be basically the Fox series, Fox networks. We knew that because the Big Ten Network is a part of the Fox network. So we knew that was going to come down, but CBS and NBC NBC being the alleged primetime home of Saturday night Big Ten football. I would imagine that NBC is still going to be in the Notre Dame football business as long as Notre Dame is still an independent, but you can read between the lines if you'd like to read between the lines as far as Notre Dame and what their future may hold as far as conference affiliation is concerned. It looks as though it's going to be, what, Mark, a Fox, CBS, NBC triple header on Saturdays for the three main games. Unprecedented times that we are living in. We've had in the past, as you have mentioned, ABC and ESPN on one of the platforms. No NBC, no CBS. Fox has been in there as well. And, of course, the ESPNs being a part of ABC. Big Ten Network has been, or excuse me, Big Ten Athletics have been a part of ESPN for since basically the beginning of ESPN. And it looks as though that is going to come to a sudden halt in a couple of years. And kind of, I want to hear from the folks out there, good or bad? Your thoughts at 319-366-1600. Mark, I'll start with you. What are your initial thoughts if we are not going to see a Big Ten game on ESPN after this year?
Don't care. I mean, I think I represent many, if not most, consumers, if not fans. You don't care what channel it's on as long as your team is on. And if you have to go to CBS for an Iowa 2:30 game, or NBC for a night game, or Fox or FS1. We've already had the BTN. We've had Fox and whatnot. But CBS and NBC, who cares as long as your team is on? I mean, we could go down the other road and talk about what appears to be a 7-year, $380 million deal, why ESPN pulled out, and what it means in the coffers of what will be 16 Big Ten teams. But from a consumer standpoint, I don't go to many, if any, games anymore. Let me know what channel it's on, whether it's radio or TV. That's all I need to know.
And I think that's kind of what the early indications are as far as the text line is concerned at 319-366-1600. As far as ESPN, we'll start there, 6429 saying, and this is the way I feel. This might be the only drawback. I don't know if ESPN can completely ignore the Big Ten, and you can argue if it's going to be the first or second best conference as far as stature in America is concerned. But 6429 says, watch for the Hawks to get ignored by the four-letter word even more than they already are, since they give more favorable coverage to the entities that they have the rights to. Understandable, but Ohio State and the like are too big for them to ignore. And then more about going on about bringing back sports that have been cut with all the money coming in, which I kind of agree about. Couple more thoughts on the text line. First of all, how quickly, Mark, everyone's allegiances changed from ESPN College Game Day to what? What do they call the thing on Fox, Big Noon thing or whatever they call it.
Right.
Oh, everybody loves that now. It's great. It's the same thing, basically. It's the same thing. They have a couple stories. They bring out a famous alum. They have a tear-jerking story, and then we kick it off and play some football. That's kind of the way it goes. Our friend Gary from Clinton, thanks for listening, Gary. Appreciate it. As long as the games are televised, the carrier doesn't matter to me. Gary and you think along with one another there, Mark. Don't care. Not a fan of Disney, so it's the right move, says 8277. And Jeff also agreeing with you on the text line, Mark. As long as you know where it is and it's being televised, then I think everything is okay.
I'm not here to be for everyone to agree with me or disagree. I just think it's the reality. You wake up Saturday morning, and Hawks are playing Illinois. As long as it isn't on Peacock streaming, I think people are going to be fine with it. And that's the next thing, Scott, that's going to come along. old guys like me don't stream a whole lot. I'll watch a Twins game on YouTube or whatnot. That may become more prevalent or more problematic for people who don't stream.
That is true. And it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out as far as streaming is concerned. The way that I understand it right now, correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but NBC is just in this for a primetime Big Ten Saturday night game. They are not going to put, you know, Indiana Northwestern is not going to be on USA at 11 o'clock in the morning, from what I understand. FS1 is going to have games. There's no doubt about that. Big Ten. I think the Big Ten Network is going to be the big winner. You and I were talking earlier, Mark. We both agree that I think you're going to see a lot more games on the Big Ten Network. Haven't heard anything about Friday night games. I'm sure we will have a few of those sprinkled in, despite the fact that that is a dumb idea to have Friday night football, but that's the reality of things in 2022. We have learned to accept it. That's the way it goes. Streaming, we still do not know exactly how that is going to play out. If NBC is only doing one game, I can't see them putting games on Peacock or anything like that. But we don't know. Football might not be the problem. We'll get to basketball and other sports coming up, Mark. Especially basketball, and I think especially more women's basketball than men's basketball, which I think could get interesting coming up in the fall and winter of 2023-2024.
Do you think ESPN no longer carrying Big Ten football games hurts the conference? Yes or no? That's our poll question at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Steve Anderson and his team setting up shop on Highway 1 West. Scott, I think it hurts ESPN more than the Big Ten.
Yeah, and ESPN is not going to talk about the Big Ten as much. I can guarantee you that. The NHL went away. Now, the NHL and the Big Ten are different, no doubt. You have to talk college football. You have to. It's not completely going to go away, but it's going to drop. I guarantee you it's going to drop from where it is and the level it is right now as far as ESPN is concerned. It's not going to go completely away like the NHL did, basically. If you got an NHL story or whatever on ESPN when they did not have the rights, you were doing good at that particular time. But you're not going to get as much of it. I don't think that would be the case. Cyclone Tim, I imagine Amazon will start getting in on the fun at some point sooner or later.
No doubt, Tim.
Yeah, that's coming down the line. And again, that's just a part of the reality of 2022 that we live in. Cyclone Tim also weighing in with, if it hurts ESPN, we're all for it, from Big 12 fans. Well, hey, ESPN is in the Big 12, Pac 12, SEC business now, I would imagine, there, Mark.
Yeah, indeed. And other people saying they don't care for ESPN either. So, once again, by and large, games will be on. And I do think the Big Ten Network is going to benefit because it has a couple sub-platforms. It can show up to, I think, three games
correct
at a time.
Correct.
And it has, at least a couple anyway. So I think you're going to see that, at least in the early games, when CBS's game isn't until 2:30, NBC isn't until 6:30 or 7, whatever it may be. And I do agree with you. I'm sure NBC will be in on Notre Dame as well. Now, when Notre Dame plays a night game at home, I don't know how that's going to work, but maybe that will be avoidable. But I do think the Big Ten Network is the winner here.
What do you think? 319-366-1600. As we talk about the Big Ten media rights, this is not official as of yet, but again, many people in the know are reporting that this is going to be the way it is going to come down. This is football, Mark. What about basketball?
Yeah.
No one has really thought about basketball as of yet. Thought of that last night and earlier this morning on how exactly this is going to play out. And I don't see it playing out real well, to be honest with you. A lot of games are on the Big Ten Network, as we have known the last couple of years, especially if you like to go to Carver Hawkeye Arena and watch Iowa basketball. Hawks have not had a whole lot of weekend games. They have not had a lot of very frontline times, for a lack of a better term, to play their home games. And you add two more teams in a couple of years with USC and UCLA. You have that. Now you have no ESPN platform to put these games on. Keep in mind, Fox is not going to break away from whatever crazy show that they have on primetime at 7 o'clock to show Iowa and Northwestern men's basketball. It's going to be FS1 during the winter. So you're cutting it right there. You also take a look at things as far as the other networks are concerned. You've got NBC. They don't have a sports sub-channel anymore. It's USA that NASCAR racing is on right now a lot of the time, and other sporting events are running on. So you could see that, but there's other programming on USA. How about Fox? Well, you got the Big Ten Network. We know we'll have games there. But you also, as far as Fox is concerned, you're just not going to... They cover the Big East as well. So you're not going to have the opportunities on FS1. I just think you're going to see some whacked out starting times and dates. I hope we don't see 3 o'clock Tuesday afternoon games start as far as Big Ten basketball is concerned. And then what do you do with women's basketball, Mark? Because, and whether it's right or wrong, I'm not here to argue this, but women's basketball is not going to get the headline times and dates of the week that the men do. So that's going to be, and then if you start putting more games on the Big Ten Network, what's that going to do as far as wrestling is concerned? And then you talk about that. I know wrestling isn't big in some parts of the Big Ten, but it is right here in the good old state of Iowa. So it's not only football we're thinking about right here.
Yeah, the other sports are going to be interesting, and perhaps while I talk, you can access our favorite ESPN announcer, Kevin Lehman, who just texted each one of us, and I'm not good at multitasking, so you can do that, Scott. But, basketball is going to be very interesting, I think. As far as wrestling goes, most of the coverage is on the Big Ten Network. But the NCAA tournament has been on ESPN platforms. We don't know what that means. It's not going to be on CBS or NBC. In football and basketball, ESPN, our games have been shown on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN+. What in the new contract is going to be plugged in to replace those platforms? And by the way, on the text line, the deal as proposed, 7 years, $380 million. So, have you read Kevin's text?
I did. Kevin's not happy because, as an ESPN analyst, he says, it now means I won't get to broadcast any Big Ten games. True. For a while, anyway. You never say never because this whole thing, is cyclical, and the next time around, it could go a completely different, opposite direction. But that stinks. That stinks. 319-366-1600. How much was the previous deal worth? It was 55-ish right in there, Mark, was the previous deal? I believe.
I don't know offhand.
This is a lot more. A lot more. Kyle agreeing with me. I was thinking the same thing, Scott. There are a lot in capital letters, more basketball games to cover than there are in football. CBS Sunday Basketball is a current thing, says 5028. That is true. And the Big Ten does have games in the past on CBS. So I would imagine that will continue. Enjoy those Sunday night 7:35 games for the tip-offs. Oh, man. 81-17, ESPN is undercutting the Big Ten since they started the SEC network. Good riddance. By the way, can't spell cheaters without SEC. There are a lot of people that have been cheating out there besides the SEC. 325 here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And we will adapt, Mark. That is the bottom line, like you said and started things off with, as far as this discussion is concerned. We will all adapt, and 2 years down the line, it will seem like you will have to think back, gosh, what was the Big Ten on before this current contract? Oh, yeah. Yeah, ESPN games. Yeah, ESPN used to have College Game Day at Big Ten campuses. So we're all going to adapt, right?
Yeah, I think at least in football, Scott, basketball may be totally different. I don't understand that landscape right now, but hey, you and I remember when you could, in football, you might be able to watch one or two Iowa games a year on television.
The rest were 1 o'clock starts.
Yeah.
Your favorite, Mark.
Listen to good old radio.
There you go. We'll talk maybe a little bit more about this coming up, and more when the announcement is made. It sounds like it is imminent as far as an announcement. We know it's coming down the line soon, but it sounds like it's going to be sooner than later. Kyle asks, how many games of the Big Ten ACC Challenge will now go untelevised? Yeah. I don't know. Bring back Bob Hogue, right?
Once again, you're going to have the Big Ten Network coming to the rescue, I think, in a lot of regards. And you know, how much CBS and NBC are going to be involved in basketball remains to be seen, at least in my early readings. But football is first and foremost, beginning in fall of 23. The rollout of that first schedule is going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is. Very, very interesting about that. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. We're going to talk to Rob Gray coming up here in just a moment or two. As we'll shift gears from talking Big Ten, we'll talk some Big 12 with Rob and talk and look back at Iowa State Media Day and look ahead as far as Cyclone football in 2022 is concerned. And we will do that coming up here in just a little bit. And Kevin also letting us know with the addition of USC and UCLA, you're going to see more Friday games, Sunday night games, too many games to fit in the normal time window for basketball. And I agree with that. There have been hints they're going to bring back traveling partners to help out with our West Coast friends once they join the Big Ten Conference. So, you know, that brings another equation into it. That first basketball schedule of 2023-24, I think, is going to be wild. Wild, indeed. There you go. All right, Mark, I'm going to throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Jamie, Dave, and Chris and everybody over there. They're open at 4 o'clock each day. Patio open as well. And they're located across from Lindale Mall on First Avenue Southeast next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Just about a year ago, Scott, as you recall, Tim Anderson was hitting a game-winning home run at the Field of Dreams. Bad news for the White Sox. Anderson will be out 4 to 6 weeks and may need surgery, torn ligament in his hand. Right now, the White Sox playing Kansas City in Kansas City, 0-0 in the second. Rumblings in the Bears camp. Roquan Smith, the star linebacker, has requested a trade. Oh, I hate that.
Say, what news was worse for you or me right there?
Roquan Smith by far. We'll see if that comes to fruition. Tennis star, and I would argue one of the greatest athletes of all time, Serena Williams, is putting in place plans to retire. Perhaps after the U.S. Open later this month. Serena Williams has won 23 Grand Slam titles. And finally, in honor of Bowling Night in America beginning in less than a month, the Vikings held a bowling outing recently. Kirk Cousins with a 285 game to claim high game honors.
What's Kirk doing on Wednesday nights?
My point exactly.
What's he doing on Wednesdays? He could sub at least when they have an off week. I don't know. All right. Yeah, we're not far from Bowling Night in America, certainly. A couple more texts before we get to a break. Get Rob Gray on the line here. Big Ten plus NBC equals Notre Dame, says 0909. Friend Sean from the bus trip. ESPN had great announcers. A lot depends on who is calling the games. You may see some announcing movement too, Mark. I would not dismiss that early on. 5028, Peacock Network replaced NBC Sports, so I think it will replace all the ESPN2, ESPN3, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll see. That's going to be a very interesting part of it, because that would be one of the streaming platforms that the Big Ten could go to. We'll see. We'll see if they do that as far as basketball is concerned. Then we are going to see a bunch of games that are going to be on a streaming platform, especially for basketball. All right, we'll take a break. Come back after a look at the weather and more. And Rob Gray will join us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. It covers the Iowa State Cyclones. Back with more after this on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we are going to have plenty of sunshine for the rest of the day. Humidity won't be terribly high, and temperatures are going to be around 80 degrees this afternoon. Later tonight should be nice and comfortable. Temperatures will be dropping down into the upper 50s with that dry air in place. Then tomorrow gets a little warmer, a little more humid, temperatures in the mid-80s, and we'll have plenty of sunshine once again. We then will have temperatures in the low 80s on Thursday with a chance for a few showers. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Good morning. Morning, boss.
Yeah, what's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk?
You mean the whole desk?
Huh?
Every time I call, they put me on hold, or tell me someone will call me back in a couple of hours. We don't have a couple of hours.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, in that case, you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
IT Solutions continually monitors their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hold desk for you to call to tell them about your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you get help now, never a hold desk.
We need to get our work done.
Learn more online at WeNeedHelpNow.com.
WeNeedHelpNow.com.
We're Saia LTL Freight. For nearly a century, our team has been committed to driving business forward. From Lady Liberty to the Golden Gate, Superstore to Corner Store, we go that extra mile, expanding our team to better serve you. So trust that when you partner with Saia, we take every delivery personally. Visit Saia.com for all your shipping needs. That's SAIA.com.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer. And under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email Julie at KZIA.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back at 3:34, Gym Class for a Tuesday on KGYM. We will have Caddy Smack on the Gym Class, talking golf with you coming up tomorrow. We will have a lot to talk about, Mark, because as we speak, the hearing is beginning as far as the LIV Tour is concerned, and their players, the 11 players that want to get back on the PGA Tour in time for Thursday's start of the FedEx Cup playoffs. You have that, and then you have, and we'll talk about this a little bit before four, you have the rumor that came out last night, and it's been a rumor since the Open Championship win, but Cameron Smith, world number two, according to multiple sources, along with Mark Leishman, is going to jump to the LIV Tour as well here soon.
Very true, and that hearing probably will not be over by the end of our program, so may have to address that tomorrow.
Yeah, we will. We will do that coming up tomorrow. We're going to address Iowa State football and look ahead to the fall as the Cyclones with Media Day last week. And to discuss that and all things Iowa State, our friend Rob Gray covers the Cyclones for Cedar Rapids Gazette, kind enough to join us here in a Tuesday edition of the program. Does this mean Media Day means summer is over on the Rob Gray calendar? Is this true?
Generally, it does. Generally, it does. We've shifted into biweekly availability with, you know, position coaches and coordinators and select players. So it's not full on yet, of course. That's when game week gets for week one against Southeast Missouri State. But, yeah, definitely have to curtail some of my leisure activities for sure.
What'd you learn on Media Day, Rob?
Is nothing a good answer?
That's usually what happens, man.
Well, you know how media days go, Mark. I mean, if there's not optimism, you're in a very strange Twilight Zone type of world. And, you know, I guess to recap, that's what you got. You got optimism. But the key with Iowa State, obviously, with the graduation of Brock Purdy, Mike Rose, Charlie Kohler, Greg Eisworth, Reese Hall moving on to the NFL, et cetera, and you, Lazarike. They lost a lot of talent, most people in the draft they've had in decades, and they got some new guys that have to step in, like Hunter Decker. Decker's a quarterback who has all the tools, has the frame, but as Coach Campbell and every coordinator I talk to, they use the variation of we'll see and you don't know until the lights come on. So they're confident and optimistic in what they've seen from these players in limited time on the field and obviously behind the scenes in practice and whatnot. But again, I guess the words that stuck with me the most were "you don't know," quote unquote, until they start actually playing the game. So we'll see. But they feel good about the talent they have for sure.
I'll ask you this, and I agree with everything you guys have said about Media Day so far. But what was the vibe? I mean, going into 2021, just the optimism. Okay, Iowa State's picked by a lot of people to win the Big 12. Didn't work out. That's not the case this year. Was there a different vibe surrounding that anyway at Media Day?
What's interesting is the format has changed a little bit. I don't know how much that affects the vibe. It used to be a free-for-all. Heck, if you wanted to go grab a guy who's never if he's not a true freshman who's never played, you could talk to him. They made a lot of players available, not the same amount. So with that caveat of it being different, and it's been different because of COVID, obviously, in recent years, I'd say there's a looser and quiet confidence, a looser feel. I don't think there was a feeling of anxiety last season with all the high hopes for good reason, based on 9-3 the year before and beating Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl. But, you know, you couldn't have foretold that they would lose almost every close game and failing to execute one way or the other, or the other team, you know, doing something that amounts to bad luck for Iowa State in the final seconds. I just feel like they believe that as a program, they have arrived to the point where what happened last year was a worst-case scenario for last year, and that should be the worst-case scenario for every season. That is winning season, bowl game, and, you know, a lot of things you can look back at and shake your head out and say what it could have, should have. I believe that's, again, where they feel they are as a program, and that's why I felt that there was just a very quiet confidence, I guess, is how I would sum up the vibe I got, I guess, from it this season.
Rob, you mentioned Hunter Deckers, and I think he's going to have a wonderful career at Iowa State, and for what that's worth. But as you know, everybody loves the number two quarterback. What does the quarterback room look like after Deckers?
Well, I think they like what they have. I mean, Rocco Becht is a highly, you know, son of former NFL tight end Anthony Becht, brought in early enrollee, really impressed, worked his way up basically to number two reps. He was past Aiden Bowman, who came in with Deckers, also pretty highly touted, not maybe to the degree Deckers was as a four-star, but he moved on, transferred over to, I believe, South Dakota, so to the FCS level. And you know, they got the Cook kid from Regina, obviously, you know, his ties on the roster. And he did some nice things, they thought, in the spring. And they got a JUCO transfer in Nate Glantz. So I think they feel really good. But Rocco Becht kind of feels like a next. But then again, their highest-rated quarterback recruit ever, J.J. Cole, out of here in Ankeny, is going to step onto campus next season. So I think they feel good. But, again, beyond the layer of not really knowing what Deckers is going to do as a starting quarterback, you've got guys who have never taken snaps. So, again, feeling good with the big asterisk next to it.
Rob, Hunter Deckers has Xavier Hutchinson, and he's on every preseason watch list known as far as wide receivers, and should be. The tight end room looks a lot different. There are going to be some new guys catching passes out there. What about the guys that Hunter Deckers is going to throw to?
Yeah, well, with Hutchinson, you have a truly wide receiver one, you know, a guy who set a single season record for receptions last year, explosive, could make plays on short passes, quick hitters, and make a guy miss or even downfield a little bit. The joke around Iowa State is they don't throw the ball downfield that much and deep. And maybe this will change with Deckers, considering his arm. You've got Hutchinson. You've got a Jalen Noel who kind of burst on the scene last year with more experience under his belt, a healthier, they think, Darren Wilson, who came back, is one of the faster guys, and a lot of speed out of the backfield too. I think they feel like they've got a lot of targets, and it's not going to be like Iowa State as it became sort of a mini tight end U for a while there. When you go back to Dylan Sainer, who ended up with the Saints, and obviously Charlie Kohler setting all the records, Chase Allen just being a rock solid guy for a long time at Iowa State. You might see more traditional sets, not as much, you know, certainly not 2-3 tight end sets, but you saw a decent amount when you had some of those guys out on the field. You might be a one tight end. You got Jared Russ coming back, who was their kind of hybrid fullback slash tight end. That's big for them. But I just think there are a lot of guys around the edges on that offense at receiver that you might see guys who can stretch the field a little bit more and kind of change the way that that Iowa State football's offense looks compared to the last couple seasons.
Rob, recent years, there was David Montgomery, superstar. What are we going to do without him? Enter Breece Hall, superstar. What are we going to do without him? How about Jarrell Brock and others in the backfield?
Yeah, as of media day, Coach Campbell really kind of made a point to saying that they really like their top four guys right now. You know, in spring ball, he was talking up Jarrell Brock quite a bit. And obviously he's a guy who's made some plays. Was mostly a third down back and a blocking back. So when he was able to work on those things behind Breece Hall, and he was as highly touted a recruit coming in with Breece Hall, same class, you'd think he'd have a leg up. And I actually think he does. But you've got a lot of guys that are very – can do different things. We talked to Eli Sanders, yesterday, and coach, the receivers, running back coach Nate Shielhaus said that he casually caught an 80-yard pass out of the backfield, touchdown pass, although it's disputed because Darian Porter supposedly ran him down, that converted, you know, the wide receiver. So you got Deion Silas, who saw some things last season as a true freshman along with Eli. So and then you brought in a true freshman, Cartavius Norton, out of Georgia, who I believe Shielhaus said he likes to run through people's faces, is the way he put it. So I think he's a strong and powerful and perhaps angry runner to add to that mix. So you got, again, a lot of complementary pieces that Campbell indicated that has to be by committee. He thinks that's going to be one heck of a committee that can put up the same type of production, which is a big ask, but he at least indicated that he believes that's possible if that ends up being the route. And it usually is early on in the season for Iowa State.
Rob Gray joining us 3:44 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM, talking Iowa State football, looking ahead to the season getting underway in about a month or so. Defensive side of the ball, Will McDonald, kind of like Xavier Hutchinson, is on every list, known to man as far as defensive linemen and outside rush guys are concerned. We know what he's got. Have we kind of thought about what Will McDonald could be facing this year, at least early on anyway, until some of the guys stepping in, start to get their feet wet a little bit? Will McDonald's good enough to take on double teams and what have you, but, it's going to be a little different look, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I was mentioned to the defensive line coach Eli Rashid yesterday, and about more double teams and triple teams, and he just deadpan looked at everyone and said, yeah, he's seen a lot of those. I think it will be heightened. I mean, when you have a versatile player like Eni Wazirike, that was very unsung, not always putting up the stats, can play inside, outside equally well. That really helped perhaps take some of the, every now and then, attention off of McDonald. But he did command a lot of attention last season. Will it be heightened this season? I would think so, when you're also replacing the other edge. Zach Peterson, very, very able, capable, did a lot of good things for them, graduated. You've got a Blake Peterson, no relation, who they really like on that other edge, but can also be, they play inside a little bit too. That's one of the themes that was coming out of defensive line talk, at least, that there are a lot of guys that can play inside and outside, which Benny excelled at. And we'll see if that's the case. Isaiah Lee came on late last year as a true D tackle, kind of run stopper, but can also get into the backfield. They really like his leadership and what he's shown throughout the course of his career, just building to this point. So I think they feel pretty good about it. But again, this goes back to the you don't know, because Blake Peterson, limited snaps, mostly got a couple sacks, first career sacks last year, but mostly a special teams guy. Same is true for a lot of the guys on the right side of that defensive line. So it's a wait and see. But Will McDonald, no doubt, is going to get his sacks, where I believe he's might be four off the Big 12 record, which is a pretty heady list to be among. So he's a known. Everything else is kind of the old, as I've said, and I'll say many times, you don't know yet.
Rob, I read your fun piece in the Gazette today about the offensive and defensive linemen's shared love of barbecue. I couldn't help but think, how many racks of ribs, how many briskets did these guys go through?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it had to have been a prodigious amount. There's no doubt. And I mean, it was just kind of a fun piece. And I run a little inside baseball on that. I mean, I'm writing daily out of these things, but I'm also ferreting away stuff for position group stories leading up to the game. So it's like, well, that's fun. And it was the first time they'd done it. Those position groups are always very tight, O-line and D-line. And the fact that they decided to bring them together and form a deeper bond, Blake Peterson said they've always had good relationship with those guys because you're working across the line of scrimmage against them and you have mutual respect and you compete and all that. But I think that can only help deepen things. And again, I appreciate that, Mark, because it was fun just hearing him talk about, oh, who ate the most? Well, it's the O-line. But, oh, they got this 350-pound hulk of a man, true freshman, Dom Orange, that came into the program. Maybe he's in the mix. Lighthearted thing, but I think a deeper tweak that really could help them in games this fall.
There you go. One thing that we have not talked about yet, and it's going to be huge. It always is, especially when you play close games. Special teams. Kicking and punting is a little bit of a question mark, I think, going into the season for Iowa State.
Oh, no question. It usually is. I mean, Andrew Mevis to the rescue last year. I remember writing the story where you heard them chanting Mevis after a game in the locker room before we went to interviews, and I just turned to someone and said, how many times do you hear a team chanting the name of their place kicker? Well, touchback machine, very accurate field goal kicker. Unfortunately, didn't seem to be very accurate in training camp with the Jaguars, but he might get other opportunities. But you got guys who come back. Drake Nettles, who handled kickoffs before him, didn't produce many touchbacks. He's been in the program a long time. Keegan Shackford, strong leg. Bringing in a freshman in June, highly touted kid out of Arizona. But his name is escaping me at the moment. But so they like their options. But again, this is as much of a you don't know as you could possibly throw into this program. And again, as you mentioned, on special teams, you think back to a lot of games where special teams miscue or a non-touchback that turns into a big return has swung the game against Iowa State. They haven't completely climbed out of that hole, and that was with Nevis. So punting game completely up for grabs too. But, to echo the optimistic stuff that prompted me to kind of say you learn nothing out of media day, they like the guys. We'll see how they perform. But certainly there is some talent in both of those position groups that they certainly have reason to feel an almost blind optimism about.
Switching gears for a minute to basketball, T.J. Otzelberger continues to excel in recruiting, bringing in some transfers, and then getting a top-10 prospect who they're very familiar with. Quite successful for T.J.
Yeah, as of now, that's shaping up to be the best recruiting class Iowa State's ever had. Sticking with Omaha Bilyeu and through all the time from Waukee to prep school, and apparently now he's going to come back to Waukee and play season out with the Iowa recruit, the Sanford kid. It was important, obviously a big priority, but you look at all the other programs that were finalists, huge gap for them. I remember maybe I was on your show thinking he was kind of a long shot talking a year ago or something like that, but TJ was the main recruiter. When Fred was there, he's clearly deepened his skills there and surrounded himself with guys that are really, really good at that part of it too. And, you've got a top 40 kid and Milan Mamilovic. I can't remember exactly the last name, but and then other good players coming into that class. So it keeps ratcheting up. The transfers, I think, will add a lot. Jaron Holmes, I think they feel can do a lot. Steve Bonaventure transfer. Same with his teammate, former teammate, now new teammate, Osunyi, one of the best shot blockers in the country. So it'll be an interesting mix. I saw that Joe Lunardi put out his early bracketology, and he has Iowa State as first four out or second four out or something like that. And they weren't anywhere near that level, obviously, last season in the very, very early rankings based on 2 wins the year before. So they're starting out ahead of the game, and we'll see how this new group meshes together. And if it can do it like last season, it's going to be an interesting and fun ride.
It will be. And can't wait for that. But football before that, put it down. We got 2 1 o'clock kickoffs in the non-conference for Iowa State. So enjoy those, because – you never know when those are going to come around again, Rob.
Exactly, and it'll actually allow me to be on true deadline and actually get it in to the paper for early deadline. So that's something for Gazette subscribers to look forward to.
September 3rd, 1 o'clock kickoff against Southeast Missouri State at Jack Trice Stadium. Hey, Rob, appreciate it. Enjoy the last remnants of summer, and we'll talk again soon, all right? Always a pleasure.
Scott, Mark, always a pleasure talking to you guys, and I hope the same for you.
All right, thanks. Rob Gray joining us, covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Give him a follow on Twitter. We'll take a break, come back, and have more for you here on Gym Class after this on KGYM.
What amazing feat can you accomplish in 2 seconds? You can shoot the winning shot of the championship game. You can rocket 110 feet into the sky in the world's fastest elevator. You can even perfect your yodel.
Yodel-y-hoo.
But maybe the most monumental feat you can accomplish in 2 seconds is saving a life, your life, just by buckling your seatbelt. Click it or ticket. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Get 11% off everything right now at Menards. Give your home's exterior an update with a new storm door from Larson. Larson storm doors save on energy costs, and they'll make your home more comfortable with several screen options. Get 11% off everything, including our entire selection of Larson storm doors, now at Menards. Good through August 14th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
We need to hire for another position. No problem. It's not like I'm already trying to juggle 5 job sites, screen candidates, schedule interviews, and, you know, do my job.
You've had it, and we get it. JobFunnel simplifies your search. Fill out info once, and we post it to all the big job sites. JobFunnel makes it easy to prioritize applicants, keep track of things, even send bulk email responses, all from one streamlined hub. Go to KZIA.com and click on JobFunnel to get started. Breathe. JobFunnel's on it.
Back with you on the Gym Class to wrap things up for a Tuesday edition of the show. Todd and Alex coming your way next from 4 until 6. Brian Haas joins us. It will be Caddy Smack on the Gym Class coming up on Wednesday here on the program. Mark, I'm reading Kyle Porter on Twitter here. Kyle Porter, who covers golf for CBS Sports.
Me as well.
This is getting really fun and ugly already between Liv and the PGA Tour. The Liv lawyer calling Taylor Gooch, Matt Jones, and Hudson Swafford, quote, three poor kids, unquote, is not going over well in the golf world.
Now when they've made a combined $36 million.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is fascinating. And here's what I was kind of fearing. The Liv lawyer dragging the John Deere, called out the John Deere and the Byron Nelson Classic, specifically saying, quote, we wouldn't be here if this was one of those tournaments. That's my fear in all this. If Cam Smith goes, others go. And they get to the negotiating table for Liv and PGA. It's not going to end well for smaller events like the John Deere Classic.
Well, yeah, I agree. And this just in, Cam Smith has signed with Liv Golf in a deal worth $100 million.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. He is banking on the fact that they are going to go to the negotiating table. He has to be, right?
All these players are, Scott.
Has to be. Because why would he give up, after winning his first major, why would he give up the President's Cup? Why would he give up the possibility of playing in all of the majors? This guy has got an amazing future ahead of him, and it's a shame. It's a shame.
Apparently 100 million reasons, Scott.
Apparently. And now the Liv attorney just referred to the Arnold Palmer Invitational in Ohio, which is indeed Orlando.
I'm just going to tick off the PGA lawyers. Stay tuned.
Yeah, this is going to get ugly, folks, and it's starting today if you are a golf fan, and this could change the... You think Big Ten media rights are changing? You ain't seen nothing yet compared to what could happen in the world of golf over the next handful of months or so. Mark, talk to you tomorrow, and we'll see you at 3.
Sounds great.
All right. Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might...